Radio Prague News.
MPs hear testimony over alleged attempts by President Zeman and his chancellor to sway judges. The foreign minister has called on the EU to take a united position on the legitimacy of Venezuela's acting president. And young working Czechs are the least at risk of falling into poverty among their EU peers. Former Supreme Administrative Court head Josef Baksa has testified that President Miloš Zeman had urged him in private meetings last spring to arrange for certain decisions at his court. He told MPs on the lower house Justice Committee that the request seemed, quote, inappropriate, and that it felt as if the president was offering to appoint him Constitutional Court Chief Justice in exchange for achieving judicial rulings. Wednesday's hearing was called over suspicions the president's chancellor repeatedly tried to influence courts on cases in which President Zeman had a vested interest. Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček has called on the European Union to take a common position on whether to recognize the Venezuelan opposition leader as president of his country. Juan Guaido proclaimed himself Venezuela's acting president on Wednesday in front of tens of thousands of supporters protesting against President Nicolas Maduro. Minister Petříček says he favors a peaceful return to democracy. The EET electronic cash register system, introduced to counter the grey economy and tax fraud, brought some 12.3 billion crowns into state coffers last year. This according to Czech Finance Minister Alena Šilerová. Compared to 2017, EET revenue increased by 4.4 billion crowns in 2018. The system was introduced in stages starting in December 2016 when it applied only to restaurants and accommodation facilities. Young working Czechs are the least at risk of falling into poverty in the European Union, according to the bloc's statistical arm, Eurostat. The percentage of working Czechs aged 18 to 24 at risk of poverty stood at just 1.5% in 2017, it said. By comparison, the EU average was 11%. A young person is seen at risk of falling into poverty if their net income is less than 60% of the national average, according to Eurostat's methodology. Apart from the Czech Republic, only two other EU countries had rates below 5%, Slovakia at 3.8% and Finland at 4.2%. The production of passenger cars in the Czech Republic increased by 1.7% last year to a new record 1.437 million vehicles. Production has grown for a fifth straight year now. Exports of passenger cars rose by 2%, while domestic purchases dropped by 1.7%. In sports news, Czech tennis star Petra Kvitová has reached the Australian Open final after defeating her American opponent Danielle Rose Collins in two sets by a score of 7-6, 6-0. It is the first time she has made the finals in Melbourne and her third Grand Slam tournament appearance overall. Her compatriot Karolina Pliskova lost on Thursday to Japan's Naomi Osaka in three sets by a score of 2-6, 6-4, 4-6. The final between Kvitová and Osaka takes place on Saturday. And finally, the weather. Friday should be partly cloudy in the north and overcast in the south. Snow is expected in the regions of Vysočina and southern Moravia. Daytime highs should range between minus 5 and minus 1 degrees Celsius. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, Petra Kvitová reaches the final of the Australian Open, and Czech mountaineer Radek Jaroš is close to completing Crown of the World. Later on, a look at one of the inspiring women in Czech history, Hana Podolská, dubbed the Czech Coco Chanel. All that coming up, so please do stay with us. Great news for Czech tennis fans. Petra Kvitová has fought through to the final of the Australian Open after beating American Danielle Collins in two sets. She is now set to face Naomi Osaka, who beat Karolina Plíšková in three sets and prevented a Czech-only final. Tom McEncroe has the details.
2 years ago, Petra Kvitová nearly had the fingers on her left racket-holding hand severed after a man carrying a knife invaded a flat in the Moravian town of Prostějov, where she was staying. Surgeons then worked for 4 hours to sew together 7 severed tendons and 2 nerves. Kvitová, who won Wimbledon twice in 2011 and 2014 respectively, managed to recover quickly and continued her tennis career, but she was unable to reach the absolute top of her game, never getting past the quarterfinals of a Grand Slam. Now it looks like the Czech hard hitter is back where she belongs after she beat 25-year-old American Danielle Collins 7-6 and 6-love to reach the Australian Open final. The beginning of the match was marked by extremely hot weather, and the organisers decided to close the roof of the Rod Laver Arena when the match was tied at 4-4. After that, Kvitová took off, dominating the first set's tiebreak and not allowing her opponent to win a single game in the second set. After the game, Kvitová told Australian Open TV that the closed roof did indeed suit her better.
Well, yeah, the first set was very tight for myself. I was pretty nervous. I couldn't really, you know, have a full swing and really be more relaxed than I was in the matches before. So I'm really glad that it came in the tiebreak and in the second set. I think happier than the fans than the roof closed, but I like play indoors, so it's really, I think, helped me a little bit.
Kvitová will face the 21-year-old US Open champion Naomi Osaka in the finals after the Japanese world number 4 beat Karolina Plíšková in the semi-finals on the same day. Plíšková spoke to Czech radio shortly after the game.
The chances were there, and I think it would also have been like that if I managed to get into the next game. There was not much in the way of me getting into the finals today. Unfortunately, I had a tougher journey leading into this game, so I don't think fortune was exactly on my side. But that is just how it is sometimes. I will wait for new opportunities, and I believe they will come.
Plíšková had to beat tennis legend Serena Williams in a close 3-set battle to reach the semi-finals. She managed to break Naomi Osaka's serve twice and won the second set, but eventually lost 2-6, 6-4, 4-6. The final showdown between Kvitová and Osaka is set for Saturday, but Czech tennis will also have another contender playing for the title immediately after the game, as 23-year-old Barbora Krejčíková will be playing with her partner Rajiv Ram in the mixed doubles final.
Tom McEncroe with that report, and of course we'll be keeping our fingers crossed for the final on Saturday. Moving on now to another sporting challenge. Czech mountaineer Radek Jaroš is yet another step closer to conquering the highest mountains of each of the 7 continents, the so-called crown of the world. After scaling Aconcagua, the highest point of South America, at the start of this year, along with his colleague Jiří Tuma, there are only 2 items left on his list of peaks to conquer, Ruth Franková reports.
The 54-year-old Czech mountaineer Radek Jaroš spent the first day of 2019 ascending the Nest of the Condors, a camp on the route to the Mount of Aconcagua, located at 5,400 metres above sea level. 5 days later, on the 6th of January, at exactly 12:05, he set his foot on the highest point of the Western and Southern Hemisphere, towering above the surrounding peaks in the Argentine Andes in the height of 6,959 meters above sea level. Upon returning to the Czech Republic this week, Mr. Jaroš told Radio Prague what was the most difficult thing about his latest ascent.
It was the waiting. The mountain is really high, so you must take your time to properly adapt to the conditions. It might have taken me less time, but my partner was in such height for the first time, so he needed enough time to acclimatize.
Jaroš says the most surprising thing was that the Aconcagua, unlike the other 7,000-meter summits, was not covered in snow, so he and his partner were mostly walking on rock and sand. Although he admits the mountain was not the most challenging of the so-called 7 summits, he says you still have to approach it with respect.
Aconcagua is a very windy mountain. The wind chill temperature on top is minus 35 degrees, so you really shouldn't underestimate the preparation and equipment.
Radek Jaroš is the only Czech to complete the crown of the Himalayas and only the 15th person in the world to reach all 14 of the world's highest peaks, all above 8,000 meters, without using oxygen mask. Soon after completing the task, he set out on a mission to conquer the highest summits of the seven continents. He told Radio Prague how the idea came about.
Mount Everest was my first peak above 8,000 meters. It is the basis for both the seven summits and for Crown of the Himalayas, which I completed by ascending K2 in 2014. Having climbed Mount Everest, I decided to complete the Crown of the World as well. I started in 2016 by conquering Denali, the highest peak of North America.
With Aconcagua scaled, only two mountains remain on the list of mountains to be completed. Radek Jaroš outlines his plans for the future.
This year, on December the 20th, I would like to set off to Africa to ascend Kilimanjaro. It will be a month-long expedition and I will be joined by several other people. And in the fall of the following year, I am planning to conquer the Carstens Pyramid, the highest mountain of Australia and Oceania.
Bude na pořadu nejvyšší vrchol Oceánie, což je Carstens Pyramid.
Mountaineer Radek Jaroš on his ambition to complete the crown of the world. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, this one looking at the life of an inspiring Czech woman. In a world still ruled by men, Hana Podolská, later dubbed the Czech Coco Chanel, fulfilled her childhood dream. She married a man who loved her passionately and built up a family fashion empire. Her clothes and fashion advice was sought after by the film stars of the First Republic, the wives of rich entrepreneurs and the country's first ladies. But the communist takeover robbed her of everything she had worked hard to achieve, and she died abandoned and forgotten in the harsh normalization years following the crushing of the Prague Spring. Johanna Vošahlíková was born into a well-off Prague family in 1880, and at first it seemed that life would treat her well. However, her carefree, idyllic childhood ended when she was just 10 years old. Her father, a respected Prague architect, died of tuberculosis, leaving the family in financial straits. Johanna's mother, previously a housewife, worked long hours in a small Prague shop selling flour and beans. And as soon as she was old enough, Johanna was sent to help a local seamstress in order to learn the trade. Suffering from pricked fingers and tired after helping her mother with various chores at the shop, she daydreamed about becoming a fashion designer. For years, it seemed that her dream was out of reach, but her life changed for the better when in 1907 she fell in love with and married a man who adored her and who was ready to help her realize her ambitions. Nadia Dubcová, who wrote a biographical novel about Hana Podolská, says that at the time, this was exceptional.
Hana knew from the outset that he was not a man who would want to keep her at home, tending to the children. He realized how talented she was and wanted to help her achieve her goals. Unlike others, he did not think himself superior as a man.
Vůbec tam nebyl projev nadřazenosti muže.
By the time she married, Johanna was a skilled seamstress and a talented designer with an eye for detail. With her husband's support, Johanna opened her first salon in Prague at the Five Kings. The salon prospered, but Johanna had set her sights much higher. In 1911, she moved her business to a more fashionable location, Prague's Lucerna Palace, which had only just opened. It was there that her business really took off, and not even the troubled years of World War I held her back.
Po vzniku republiky ona sama měla trochu strach, jak to bude vypadat.
After the birth of independent Czechoslovakia, she was a bit worried about legislation and how it might affect her business. But after the war, there was a feeling of euphoria. People were glad to be alive. They had gained independence and wanted to enjoy life. There was a boom in all trades and her own business prospered.
Byla všechna řemesla velice vyhledávaná, takže i její.
The fashionable new dress and Johanna's talent and charm opened doors effortlessly, and Johanna, now known as Hanna Podolská, made use of every opportunity that presented itself. She designed dresses, hats and fur coats for the bright lights of Prague society and the wives of influential businessmen. Maria Baťová, the wife of shoe mogul Tomáš Baťa, film stars such as Natasha Golová and Lida Bárová, and even the wife of President Edvard Beneš, Hanna Benešová. She was also asked to produce models for films, since there was no one to rival her on the Czech fashion scene. Although the contacts she developed and the friends she made in high circles helped, Podolská worked hard for her success. She would be present at every fitting, arriving at the salon as early as 5 a.m., double-checking every stitch and making her seamstresses redo anything that was not quite perfect. She regularly travelled to Paris for inspiration and established the first trendy fashion magazines in Czechoslovakia. Eva and Fashion and Taste. Following the example of French fashion houses, she started employing professional models, arranging for them to appear at the Prague Pardubice steeplechase wearing her latest models, or at some of the country's spas frequented by the rich and famous.
Hanna měla velké nadání.
Hanna was extremely talented, not just in designing clothes and as a seamstress, but as a businesswoman as well. She had a great deal of common sense. She knew what needed to be done for her business to prosper and had the drive needed to accomplish her goals.
By then, her salon was employing several dozen seamstresses, both her sons and their wives, and she was organizing fashion shows for the public, the first designer to do so in Czechoslovakia. Hanna was living out her dream. She had managed to keep the business running through two world wars and thought nothing could threaten her position. But clouds were fast gathering on the horizon. The communist takeover in 1948 shook the society in its foundations and turned Hanna's life upside down.
Salon Hany Podolské byl znárodněn mezi prvními.
The Hanna Podolská salon was one of the first family businesses to be nationalized and renamed. Hanna was allowed to stay on as an employee, and one of her own employees, a man loyal to the Communist Party, was made director. Sometime later, he sacked her from her own salon.
Ale později musela toto místo opustit.
Inevitably, the character of the salon was changing with its clients. The top name on the list of clients now was that of the wife of Czechoslovakia's first communist president, Klement Gottwald, Marta Gottwaldová, who wanted to be seen as a fashionable first lady and did everything she could to copy her predecessor, the ladylike Hanna Benešová. Unfortunately, Marta Gottwaldová was a corpulent matron who lacked breeding and on whom fashion items did not sit well. No surprise, really, since she reportedly had a 118-centimeter thick waist. Unlike Hanna Benešová, who was quiet and modest and unassuming and would herself make trips to the salon for fittings, Marta commanded that Hanna Podolská come to Prague Castle with her seamstresses. She even had a figurine of her size made and placed it in her rooms for when she was not available for fittings herself. Leaving the salon she had established was a bad blow for Hanna, but there was worse to come. Her youngest son tried to flee the country and join his wife and child in London. He was arrested and spent several months in a labour camp. In 1952, in the midst of planning a second attempt to leave the country, he was arrested, charged with espionage and sentenced to 13 years in jail. He was released 7 years later after agreeing to collaborate with the communist secret police, which included spying on his own mother.
téměř neváhal a svůj vázací akt napsal. Tehdy se psal,
he jumped at the offer, thinking that he could get the better of them, but he was terribly wrong. They forced him to report on everyone, including his own mother.
Musel hlásit všechno a dokonce i na svou matku někdy.
Viktor was beset by guilt and repeatedly tried to flee the country. In 1968, during the Prague Spring, he finally managed to leave Czechoslovakia and urged his mother to come with him, but she refused, feeling that this was her home. This despite the fact that she was frequently harassed by the communist secret police.
Hana musela přetrpět i prohlídky.
Hana often suffered interrogations and raids of her home by the communist secret police. They were rude and took pleasure in humiliating her. At one point they even stole some money she had at home, but she was a strong and proud woman. She never bowed her head, and you can see in the papers they made her sign after these interrogations that her hand was as firm and steady as ever.
A nikde žádné zaváhání.
In her last years, Hannah faced her misfortunes alone. Her husband had died in a tragic accident in 1926. Her elder son was paralyzed, and her younger son was now living in the United States. They were never to see each other again. The woman who was once the toast of Prague society and whose dresses every woman craved died abandoned and forgotten in 1972, leaving the little she had to her caregiver. Her salon, now renamed and unrecognizable, survived her by 19 years, closing its doors in 1991. And I'm afraid that feature about Hanna Podolska has brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. And of course, you can follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and take care.